Greetings. This is Matt Miller, pastor at The Village Church. The Village Church is a community committed to fixing our eyes on God, loving each other as Christ loved us, and sacrificially serving our neighbors. We hope that the content of this message will encourage you to deepen your spiritual walk, to embrace the riches of God's grace in Christ for you, and to compel you to live a life of love. We invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. as we gather together. Psalm 23. It's a good psalm to read in a storm, isn't it? Because that is certainly one of the source of comfort do when we are in a storm as we go to a psalm like Psalm 23. It's a source of comfort. Guidance, isn't it? We don't just go to a psalm like this, to the shepherd in moments of acute need, but we also realize pretty quickly as we think about the week ahead of us that we more than likely will need a shepherd every day, every moment, walking with us, guiding us. And so Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think it's the first two lines of this psalm that inform the rest of it. The two lines at the very beginning, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And the rest of the psalm is the filling in of those details of what that looks like, what that means. And so the first question from the first line of that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The question that emerges is the Lord my shepherd? The question, who is guiding me? Who is guiding me? David says, he makes. He leads. He restores. He guides. Your rod, your staff, you prepare. You anoint. You feel the tension of that in your life, in your daily life? I have some control. I want to do a lot of things, right? I want to feel like I have some control. I want to be fed and educated by our culture. Anybody ever watch TV? Let's see, what are some ads out there, right? I mean, every single one of them is communicating to us, you do not have everything that you need. Your way, right away. Epic. Hamburgers, I mean. Little stuff to big stuff. And so we are instructed. We are enculturated. We are socialized in the world of advertising, and that shapes us. We say and we hope that as followers of Jesus and as the church, we want to shape, right? But it doesn't take long for us to realize how much we have been shaped by our culture. And so there's tension here. We make my way, right away. And so we look at something like this. These are frequently fun exercises to do in a group. Peace quotient. Where are you at your peace? Where's your peace level? What's your peace quotient? And so often what we do is we filter that through how we are leading our lives. Let's see. What is my purpose? My place? Where am I with my provision? My people? My personal health? And then you add all those together, you divide, and you get a percentage that is where your peace, that changes from day to day, doesn't it? I've taken that several times, and I don't think I've ever scored above a 77. You know? Me leading my life has never been above a 77 that I can remember, right? Who was guiding me? He makes. He leads. He restores. That in and of itself, just to have that awareness, to have that question in front of us on a Monday morning can shape us, can't it? Lord, lead me today. Lead me today, this week. Override. You're giving Jesus permission. Have you given the Spirit permission to override you? Are you open to the override? Lord, override me. I know my natural predisposition. Override that. Because I'm at a 77 for a high. And you want better for me than that. Exodus 3. The people call out to God. He listens. He sees their peace quotient is low. They're slaves. Very low peace quotient. He hears them. He listens. And what's the promise? I want to lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. A good, beautiful. You know, that's God's heart for us. That's God's desire for us. But when we lead, we get stuck at 77. God has more for us than that. And so tomorrow morning, who's guiding me today? Who's guiding me? My way, right away, or the shepherd's way, right away? So that's the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. And when the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. I don't get stuck at 77 because no longer are those provisions dependent upon me guiding. They're dependent on the shepherd guiding. And so when we're being led by the shepherd, when we're answering that question, oh, who is providing? Me or the shepherd? David says, I have all that I need. Green pastures. Quiet waters. In a chaotic week, quiet who wants quiet this week? Yes. The right path. We have a tendency to wrong path. The right path. Comfort. A prepared table. Before us. Fullness. A full table. In the presence of our problems. When we got problems, the table feels empty, doesn't it? Of antagonism, a table prepared for us of the angst, emptiness, an overflowing cup, goodness, and love. A place, a house of the Lord. So there's details in here, right? We can go down and what are the details of God's providing, you know? And it's nice to do that. What are the details of that? But I think sometimes we can go overboard on the details. We can get into the minutiae and start asking questions. Okay, what do I need? When do I need that? Where am I? At work this week, that's where I'm going to need that there. And we begin to start going into the weeds on the details of the shepherd's provisions. The details of the shepherd's provisions. And if we're fixated on the details of the shepherd's provisions, it's possible to lose sight of the shepherd. So while all of these things are amazing, and while all of them come from the hand of the shepherd, sometimes we become fixated on the good things and the good one, the good shepherd, becomes a little blurry. Has that ever happened to you? Blessings, 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 details, details. This is going awesome. And then we forget to do what we did just a minute ago. Praise, right? Because we're riding. We're riding in the blessings. David, like, don't lose sight of the one, because it's in the shepherd that you have all that you need. So don't let the shepherd get blurry. Because it is in the shepherd that you have all of these things in absolute abundance. So abundant that, like the sheep, you can have so much of that good thing that you're just that. I mean, sheep grass, right? Sheep eat grass. Shepherd will lie down in the green grass. How many times have you seen a sheep lie down in green grass? If they're lying down in green grass, their bellies are so full, they're done. I mean, think about, what does it take for your dog to lie down in the dog food? I mean, think about your dog doing that, right? I fed 5 dogs this morning. There was no lying down, right? But if I would have taken the bag and gone like that, come home in an hour, then maybe they'll be lying down in their dog food, right? Because they had so much. That's the kind of lavishness that the shepherd has for us. The sheep are actually lying down in what they usually eat. That's abundance, isn't it? That's more than enough. And only when the shepherd is providing is that our reality, isn't it? As soon as we take our eyes off the shepherd and begin to manage the details of how much, when do I need, what's going on here, how is that going to work, the blur. And so all of these blessings are intrinsically attached to the source. That's the key to the whole operation. They're intrinsically attached to the source. And it culminates there with, you know, the house of the Lord is dwelling in the house of the Lord. Because houses, come on, you should see my house, right? I've been so blessed. Look at my house. But don't blur out the one who provided the house, because that's where it all comes alive, isn't it? That's where it all comes alive, is when you're not just in a house, but you're dwelling with the Lord in the house. Some of you are going through that right now. We're going through that right now with my wife's parents. They're at the age where they can't take care of the house. And so we're starting to think about, what are we going to do with the house? And at this side of the family, I look into the conversation. As an outsider, means nothing if grandpa and grandma aren't there. Great house, you know, whatever. But unless they're here, you know, that's my two cents, and then I walk away, right? Right? Because then be fireworks, right? Nostalgia comes in. But the reality is, without the Lord dwelling with us in the house, so we can't blur the shepherd. Every single one of these is intrinsically attached to the shepherd. We're tempted to get excited about the stuff. So we're consumers. Isn't that nice to be labeled consumers? That's who we are, right? We're consumers. But never blur out the shepherd, because the shepherd is the key. The shepherd is the key, and the shepherd is good. The shepherd is good. In John chapter 10, Jesus undoubtedly knew about Psalm 23. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They come to me to be with me. They don't come to me. Jesus saw some of them coming to Jesus for the stuff, right, for the prepared table. Jesus fed mouths. And there were some who were following him around for the prepared table. That's a full table there. And Jesus said that. He says, some of them are here because I've prepared a table. They've lost sight of me. But my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Because I am life. And only in me will you have everything you need. He restores our soul, our being. He restores our being. And doesn't put pressure on us to perform. Isn't that, I mean, we can rest in that. No pressure to perform. He just wants to be Emmanuel, God, us. He's not inviting us to use us. Jesus wants to be with you, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To be with, preoccupied with being with, not preoccupied by performance. The disciples started doing that. Luke chapter 9, the disciples. Mark 3, it says Jesus called disciples so that he could be with them. To be with them. And as the disciples were with Jesus, they started to do some performing, some stuff, some awesome things. And so in Luke 9, it says, an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Okay, they started performing, and they lost sight for a moment of the being. Being with Jesus. And so Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had the little child stand beside him. And then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is the least among you all, he is the greatest. Similar scene in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew writes, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child, had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus invited little children, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. And he communicated to his disciples, you want to see this in action? You want to see following me in action? You want to see trusting me in action? You want to see looking up to a Father in action, in humility and in trust? Look at the little children. Change and be like the little children. That's an invitation to us, isn't it? The bigger we get, the more we want to guide. The bigger we get, the more that we want to provide. So Jesus puts a child up in their presence and says, change. Humble yourself. Trust like a child. That's an invitation for us.
We appreciate you taking the time to listen. We hope these words serve to strengthen you, to deepen your faith, or to draw you to faith in Christ. For us, that faith and following Jesus compels us to love and serve others. And that shapes us. It shapes our identity here at the Village Church. We know that God's desire is that we would both love Him and love our neighbor. We would love to see you. We welcome you to join us on location every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We are located at 1650 8th Avenue in Baldwin, Wisconsin. as you go into this week, may your joy be rooted in Jesus as you seek Him first.